Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
This bill, for the first time in 30 years, allows for the taxpayer funding of abortions.
When Christians say, I'm not going to get involved in those things, what we've done, we have now not only abdicated responsibility, but we have absolutely given confirmation to the utter destruction of everything we're afraid to touch.
Today we are celebrating the birth of our Prophet Muhammad, who was born on this day. It's a great day of the Muslim world. The Prophet gave us this religion, which is a religion of peace.
It's true that he was a violent man. In fact, he was, if you will say, the first Muslim terrorist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
Well, the atheists have been telling us this all along, and many do assume, both atheists and believers, that atheism holds the intellectual high ground. They claim science, they claim rationality, they claim logic, they claim reason. Is it true? And here comes a new study that is looking at the relationship between IQ, your intelligence, atheism, liberalism, and oddly enough, male sexual exclusivity. We're going to be talking about this study with Craig Parton here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 10th of March, and I invite your questions and your comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Now, remember the phone number and the email and the Twitter address, because in about 25 minutes, we have some audio open lines for you on this Wednesday afternoon. Catholic Charities in Washington, D.C. has decided to cut off spousal health care coverage for its employees. All of it. Why? Because in D.C., gay marriage is now legal, and Catholic Charities doesn't want to be supporting gay spouses. So, no more spousal coverage in your health care if you work for Catholic Charities in Washington, D.C. They say it's the only thing they could do short of pulling out of D.C. altogether, and they still want to help the poor, so this is the solution. I want to know, what do you think of that? What do you think of Catholic Charities saying no spousal coverage for anyone? What if your spouse is sick? What if you're a heterosexual couple? A same-sex couple is the problem here, but what if you're opposite-sex couple, and Catholic Charities says to you, you work for us, but your spouse is no longer covered. Too bad. I want to hear from you here in about 25 minutes. Audio open lines. Also a little bit on, same-sex adoption in Florida. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. In the second hour, our guest here in the studio, Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. He's authored a new book, one of his many, titled A Little Book on Joy, The Secret of Living a Good News Life in a Bad News World. Pastor Matt Harrison in studio for the entire second hour of Issues Etc. this Wednesday afternoon. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California. He's United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he is author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, the atheists have been saying this outright and implying it for years, that they hold the intellectual high ground, not only in their ideas, but maybe they're a little smarter than us. Does this new study prove them right?
Answer, no. And, you know, I think of Pascal, Newton, Bach, Milton, T.S. Eliot, the head of the Human Genome Project today, apparently all unevolved Neanderthals with very low IQs who hadn't understood that religion was simply paranoia. If they had just read this article, Todd, they would have figured out that religion is paranoia, and it actually harms the intellectual development of people. Look at what the harm it did to Newton. Look how it restricted poor Newton from investigating the world, and Kepler, and all these others involved in the rise of modern science. I mean, this is, I mean, you really have to read this article with asking some kind of fundamental questions about the sampling that was done in the first place. But the thing that bothers me, I think, the most, or the question that's avoided, are the truth questions about any particular position. For example, you know, is a religious position in fact true is just not even part of the article. This is a sociological study. And the conclusion is, gee, if a majority of people who are atheists have a higher IQ than everyone else, I guess the assumption is you should believe what atheists believe if you want to be smart. And the logical fallacy in that kind of thing, I mean, that is a classic sociological fallacy. If X number of people believe such and such, then such and such must be true. Well, it doesn't follow at all. And the study is really hilarious that it would even get published in something serious.
Many Christians might read this or the press's coverage of it and throw up their hands and say, look, I'm a person of belief, of faith. I don't claim to be the smartest person in the world. And yes, maybe I don't have to be that smart to be a Christian, because after all, Christianity is about faith, not about the mind, not about thought, not about intellect or reason.
Well, that's certainly not the New Testament's view or the biblical view of it. As the Old Testament, Jewish people were people of the book. It resulted directly in them pursuing the intellectual world. Why is the world full of Jewish doctors and lawyers? Because the life of the mind in Judaism, arising right out of the biblical material, was highly valued, and the life of science also. So this doesn't jive at all with biblical revelation. Your mind is given to you as much as an integrated part of your body as your heart. And to jettison that is to leave areas unclaimed by the Lordship of Christ, which is contrary to biblical material, and in fact is not the history of the Christian intellectual tradition, which has been strongly pursuing sciences, the arts, intellectual endeavor. This article makes a big comment about how being an atheist really opens up your mind to other ideas. Well, actually, I believe it's the opposite. It forecloses considering intelligence as being possibly the cause of the universe. And when you foreclosed a priori something like intelligence being at the foundation of the entire world, I don't think that makes you a liberal thinker. I think it makes you actually a closed-minded thinker, whereas Christians are open to a universe that can be invaded by things from the outside, and in fact has been invaded by God himself and the person of Jesus Christ from the outside. And our worldview doesn't force us into narrow categories, as atheism does, to do anything it can to explain something without resorting to some kind of supernatural explanation.
Are you saying that atheism or mere skepticism actually, if not restricts the intellect, I don't think you're saying that, but restricts one's willingness or perhaps even ability to use the common parlance, think outside the box?
Yeah, to consider alternative explanations. Great illustration is Steven Weinberg, the Nobel Prize physicist, in his book I'm reading right now, Dreams of a Final Theory, where he goes to incredibly great lengths to make it clear that he will go with about any explanation as to the origins of the universe but God. And that is a priori ruled out of the question. I don't care what the evidence is. I don't care what kind of facts you can present to me. That option I will not consider. And I would submit to the listeners that that is not an open-minded approach to science that says I'll go with any explanation other than an explanation that there potentially is a God at the beginning of all this.
With about 30 seconds here, Is atheism itself a system of belief akin to a religion?
Well, it is. It's a worldview. It absolutely is. It understands that we've come from nothing. We're part of the evolutionary byproduct. It has a worldview. It has ethics, that there are no ethics, at least defensible ethics, beyond how people treat one another in order to survive. It has a doctrine of man, has a doctrine of evil, has a doctrine of history, which is nothingness, going nowhere other than an evolutionary, hopefully, forward plane. But it is absolutely a worldview, as everyone in the world has a worldview, and atheism isn't out of that just because they say, well, we don't believe in God.
Craig Parton is our guest. We're talking about a new survey, a new study on the relationship between IQ, atheism, liberalism, and if we have time, it also says something about male exclusivity, sexual exclusivity. Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. You can purchase his book by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, I was listening to an interview earlier today. Oddly enough, a scientist, a philosopher, was talking about a theory that he and others held of multiple universes. His theory actually is that there are multiple universes because the universe itself is just a simulation running in some vast computer controlled by people in the real universe. This was his theory. When asked by the interviewer, well, is the person in control God? He said, oh, no. I won't go that far. I won't go as far as God. But aliens running a computer as big as a planet in which our universe is, he liked it. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Delivering apologetics artillery right on target. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about atheism and the intellect, your IQ. A new study says that if you're a liberal, a skeptic, or an atheist, you generally tend to be more intelligent than other people. Craig Parton is our guest. Here's Steve listening in St. Louis. Steve, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hey, thank you. One of the things that occurred to me was, isn't even the concept of measuring intelligence a very relative and subjective measure? And let me point to Albert Einstein. Einstein, in his early years, was considered, I don't know if crazy is the right word, but unconventional and wasn't considered a genius till later on. So isn't our idea of what is intelligent a suspect? So how can we measure something like that as an objective when, in fact, it's not?
Steve, thank you very much. Your thoughts, Craig?
It's a really good point. I was going to ask, and thanks, Steve, for that comment. How many people even know their IQ? I don't know anybody who knows it. I mean, maybe there's a test you've taken. Maybe it's something current that's happening now. But Steve is right on the market. I can't even answer the question to know how they analyze it, number one. Number two, in this study, they interviewed people in grades 7 to 12, and then later when they're from 18 to 28. As far as 7 to 12, in the general world out there, there's probably very few kids that aren't atheists. I know in my block, all the kids from your religious homes, they all want to be atheists because it's kind of the rebellious thing to do. Start talking to them when they're 35 or 40 and had a few knocks in life and have been around the block a little bit. So in answer to Steve's question, I have no idea what the basis is for talking about the objectivity of IQ tests, and he's absolutely right. They don't necessarily measure what you think they're measuring. There's an awful lot of people in mental institutions who I bet could do extremely well on an IQ test, probably knock it off the charts.
Okay. I mentioned before the break, and this isn't the only time I've actually heard scientists or philosophers go this direction. A philosopher and a scientist was being interviewed about a particular theory he had that perhaps our universe itself is a simulation. And he would say, well, running in a computer someplace of unimaginable power and scope to account for everything that we find in the universe, and maybe even that universe out there is also a simulation running. But somewhere, ultimately, there's someone manning the computer, I guess sweeping up around it or something. And he was asked the question, well, that final person there out there in the real universe who's manning the computer that runs our universe as a simulation, is it God? Are you talking about something akin to God? Oh, no. I'm not going there. I wouldn't even entertain that idea. It sounds like an example of what you said before, willing to entertain any idea other than God.
Yeah. I think that's really a telling illustration. And when you're willing to go to that kind of extent to say, well, maybe this universe is a figment of our imagination or fooling us. Well, maybe I'm a figment of your imagination and fooling you. Oh, yeah, maybe that's possible. Pretty soon is the collapse of all knowledge, because the objectivity of personhood is one of the basic tenets of the pursuit of science. Once you've lost that and there's no distinction between the thing observed and the observer, you've lost any philosophical basis to have confidence in the results of scientific inquiry. That is the end of science. And what's left inevitably is that kind of philosophizing, speculating, I should say, that goes on that you heard and really leads itself open, lends itself to all kinds of occultic explanations of the world. Oh, there's weird things out here floating around that are really the reason. Reminds me of Conan Doyle, the author of the Sherlock Holmes material. He went from rationalism, a strict rationalism that was based on atheism, all the way over to spiritism and the occult at the end of his life. And that's the kind of place that you end up in when you're willing to entertain any explanation as long as it's not possible that you have God in the equation.
Extending something you said, your observation about young people you made a moment ago, could it also be that atheism is kind of the fashionable position for people who kind of want to let everyone know that they're smart to take? Just as, I mean, if you're a Hollywood celebrity, you're a Scientologist. If you want to pose or present yourself as an intellectual, you're an atheist.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think you need to call people to the carpet to say, how do you explain then? How do you justify your worldview? How do you justify ethics? If you're an atheist, a Hollywood person, what do you care about people suffering in Haiti? They're getting what they deserve. They're farther down on the evolutionary chain. Should be glad to get rid of these people. We need to push people's worldviews and philosophies. When they say, oh, I'm an atheist, and they want to just make it sound as I'm part of the academy and I'm intelligent, I think we push them. You have no basis for law, I mean real justifiable law, no basis for morals, no basis for the value of man whatsoever. You don't know where the world began. You can't answer the contingency argument of Aristotle. You don't know that even though the universe appears full of contingency, you have no answer for it. You absolutize the world as an explanation of how it began. You are the greatest mystic around. Far from being scientific rationalists, you've avoided and ignored facts. I maybe not put it as crustily as I'm saying it here, but we've got to take every thought captive when someone says they're an atheist and they have the intellectual high ground to really test that specifically in cross-examination.
So make the case, if you would, on the other side of this equation, that not only as an historical fact, but also in the real life of Christians today, the life of the mind, cultivation of genuine intellect, open inquiry, and reason, are not just something Christians can do, but something Christians should do.
Yeah, it's absolutely vital. Christians have the basis for the integration of all knowledge. The universities, the universitas in the Latin, of all learning comes out of the Christian understanding that knowledge should be understood in light of the eternal. And Christian education, Christian missionary efforts to help those less fortunate, Christian intellectual efforts have been premised on the idea that all creation is to be seen subspecies eternitatus, under the perspective of the divine, that all knowledge is integrated and should be integrated. And as a result, Christians should be on the forefront of scientific endeavors, of investigating the factual world, of not being afraid of any fact, historical, scientific, or otherwise. That ultimately this all can be seen subspecies eternitatus and should be. And in fact, that is the lineage and heritage of the great Christian intellectual tradition, beginning in the Old Testament through the rabbis, continuing right through the New Testament effort. Paul, as a very trained legal thinker and polemicist, through the early apologists of the second and third century, right through Aquinas, development of the Middle Ages, the university, to modern science, and the Reformation to the present day. People who have taken the Christian faith seriously have been liberated intellectually, not enslaved.
Two quick final questions. Someone at work says, hey, did you see the new study that shows that atheists are smarter than believers? How, with 30 seconds, should we respond?
Well, you respond by saying it doesn't answer the question and can't answer the question, is atheism true? That's a much more interesting discussion that I'd like to have with you sometime. Regardless of whether the study has problems or not, which it obviously does if you read it, the question is atheism in fact the best factual explanation of the world? And if not, what other options are better? And then present the affirmative case for Christianity to the person.
Before we let you go, Craig, tell us about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights.
Yeah, we are in year 15. We have 20 people coming again with us in Strasbourg, France this summer for an advanced academy in the defense of the faith. They should go to apologeticsacademy.eu for next year, next summer, July, and see what we have in store. We have Angus Manouge and Adam Francisco with us next year, and I think both have probably been on your show. So we try to get the top faculty in the defense of the faith for 12 days in Strasbourg, France, and equip laymen of all kinds, pastors, teachers, people in all lay occupations, otherwise to join us for that period of time in July to study more in depth the objections of unbelievers and how to treat those in an effective way in a secular culture.
Folks, you can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. Craig, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd. Take care.
When we come back, I'd like your answer to this question. In Washington, D.C., gay marriage is now legal. It's the law. Catholic Charities has, in response to that, and saying it has been left with no other choice, has decided to drop all spouses from its health care coverage of its employees. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a gay couple or a heterosexual couple. The spouse will no longer be covered if you work for Catholic Charities in Washington, D.C. And as I said, Catholic Charities said, we had no choice. It was either this or pull out of D.C. altogether, and we couldn't do that. We have to be Catholic. We have to help the poor. This is the only thing we could do. Do you believe that? Is it true? Do you think something else could have been done? Was it the right thing to do? Simply a blanket ban on all spousal coverage for their employees, healthcare-wise, because of gay marriage in D.C.? 1-877-623-6943. We'll hear the story from National Public Radio, some reaction from, MSNBC, I believe, and your answer to those questions. 1-877-623-MYIE. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
How are sinners declared righteous before a holy God? Where can we find the presence of God today? How can I discover God's will for my daily life? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward V.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc. This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A Colorado man is facing federal charges. Jared Alstrom tried to talk his girlfriend into having an abortion. When she refused, he laced her food with the second part of the two-part abortion drug RU-46. The woman eventually gave birth to a stillborn baby boy nearly halfway through the pregnancy. Jared ultimately admitted the crime to his girlfriend in emails. This kind of deadly assault on women and their preborn children is almost commonplace now. The chemical abortion drug is easily obtainable and can be slipped into food or beverages without notice. Imagine the number of guys getting away with this. Where's the outcry from hardcore pro-abortion feminists who claim to be pro-choice? They were instrumental in getting RU-46 legal, and it's victimizing women.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.